For perhaps the thousandth time, Colonel Hespasin cursed Lord Chicklecattle the Most High, but, as always, he did it silently. It would be horribly improper for a representative of John the Fourth, King and Emperor, to offend an envoy of a foreign power, and it would be foolhardy for anybody to insult the Mexicatl Tehoatzin, the high magician and chief underpriest of the Aztec Empire. The treaty party was, once again, stopped dead in its tracks. Once again, Lord Chicklecattle was out of his palanquin and kneeling on the ground, his thick hardwood staff with its massive, gold, frog-shaped head thrust into the ground before him, his forehead pressed to the brown earth, listening with his inner ear to the messages of Tlaltlaquatli, god of the earth. Once again, the special platform carrying the eternal flame for the rededication ceremony was grounded by the 12 slaves on whose shoulders it rested, and the 10 special priests of the flame were on the ground before it, performing the intricate ritual of Salzalhuatl, god of fire, to keep the flame happy while it waited. They were progressing slowly, with many stops, up the valley of the Pethmothocargo, the grandmother of rivers, the local name for the great river that drained most of the New England continent into the Gulf of Mexico. At this rate, Colonel Hespasin thought, the treaty party and its accursed eternal flame would not make it to New Borkum until July, and Duke Charles would blame him. The Imperial Legion was supposed to get things done, regardless of odds, irrespective of difficulties, despite hardships. Their motto was, "The Legion does." But how to get an overcautious Aztec chief magician to keep to schedule when they didn't use the same clocks, or the same calendar, he didn't know. The Aztecs refused to ride horses, although they would use them as pack animals, and they couldn't use the wheel, which they regarded as sacred, and he couldn't start them moving, or hurry them, or do much but attempt to guard them as they moved grandly and slowly along. Colonel Hespasin raised his hand, palm forward, and lowered it, and Company B of the Duke's Own dismounted. Get your men off their horses as often as possible, better for man and animal. Hespasin stayed on his mount for the moment, to get a better view of what was happening among the Aztec priesthood gathered in the center of his little caravan. At his signal, 4 mounted scouts moved off in 4 directions to keep an eye on their surroundings. Lord Chicklecattle stood and raised his arms to the sun. Then he gestured behind him. The slaves lowered the other 3 palanquins to the ground, and 3 more high-ranking Aztec priest magicians got out and gathered around their high magician. Colonel Hespasin was not invited to join in their deliberations. They sniffed the ground, peered up to the sky, and did a complex little dance around the 6-foot frog staff. The bloated golden frog atop the staff was clutching a large pink gem crystal between its tiny paws. While his priests danced, Lord Chicklecattle carefully placed a highly burnished copper shield on the frog's head. Blue smoke billowed in thick, steady puffs from the frog's mouth and ears. The double file of junior-grade priest magicians, flanking the palanquins, stood stiff as statues in their red and blue-trimmed white mantles, waiting for orders from their chief. They each carried a carefully rolled leather battle pouch, holding the complex stuff of which battle magic is made. The files of warriors that surrounded the priestly contingent, their polished brass breastplates and shields gleaming in the afternoon sun, stayed on the alert, peering fiercely about them as they waited in place. Every warrior wore a bronze short sword, hardened by the secrets of the priest magicians to the equal of any steel blade. 2 out of 3 had 6-foot brass-tipped fighting spears, while every 3rd warrior carried a matchlock musket with a wide-belled mouth, filled with black powder and 3 pounds of copper shot, each peanut-sized shot cast in the shape of one of the many Aztec gods of war and imbued with a potent spell. For the Aztecs, life appeared to be a very serious matter.